Among the bishops attending the 13th Ordinary Assembly of the Synod of Bishops is Bishop Everardus Johannes de Jong, Auxiliary Bishop and Vicar General of Roermond in the Netherlands. He spoke to Charles Collins about the Synod.
I think, indeed, there is a real necessity for bringing the gospel to the people of our times in the Netherlands and bring Jesus as a personal savior to everyone, which is, of course, from all ages and all times. And new is, of course, the form of expression and the method. And I think in these days we should use some more new methods, but also take into account that there are older methods that have been proven to be very effective. So I mentioned some of these, which among one of us is effective, is the pray for the Holy Spirit. In our diocese we have the foundation of the SVD Fathers and the Holy Spirit Sisters, another contemplative branch of the SVD, that's the Holy Spirit Sisters who contemplative lives. And they prayed when the founder was still alive, every quarter of an hour to the Holy Spirit. So he had clocks installed all over the place, and they would pray for the Holy Spirit every quarter of an hour. And then the Catholic Charismatic Movement prayed a whole year for the coming of the Holy Spirit, and then it came at a certain weekend in 1967. So I think this pray for the Holy Spirit, also in Holland, especially in Holland maybe, would be very important. We had a meeting not too long ago, about a couple of years ago, where we celebrated the 150th anniversary of the restoration of the hierarchy, and we prayed a novena 9 days before Pentecost. And this meeting, against all odds, I would almost say, was a wonderful meeting where we felt that the progressives and the conservatives, the older people and the younger people, all felt at home in this one church celebration. So I really believe in the force of the Holy Spirit for the new evangelization, and I proposed also that we globally would pray after Mass, for instance, a prayer for the Holy to the Holy Spirit.
Traditionally, people have sometimes said that in the Latin Church, in the Western Church, we have not emphasized the Holy Spirit as much as they do, for example, in the East. Can we learn something from
I think
them?
So, yeah. That is an interesting remark. In the Vatican Council, for instance, at the document on the liturgy, the Eastern Church is reminded the Western Church that they forgot about the Spirit. And then at the end, they added some places where the Holy Spirit was mentioned. And I think it's still true. But Pentecost was the place where very fearful apostles changed into very courageous ones. And I think, why wouldn't that be happening to us? Luke 11 to 13 states explicitly that a father won't give a stone to a son who asks for a bread, or a scorpion to a son who asks for a fish. So how much more would the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to everyone who asks for it? So that's my favorite text. And also the text of Evangelii Nuntiandi. Pope Paul VI had this wonderful document, Evangelii Nuntiandi, 75, after the Synod for Bishops on also evangelization. And in number 75, he writes wonderfully about the Holy Spirit, and says there that every evangelist should continuously pray to the Holy Spirit. Continuously. So that's what I find a very inspiring text, and I think it's very actual today still.
Now, you just mentioned a novena. In your remarks towards the Synod, you also mentioned promoting prayer to the angels the archangels.
Yeah.
Some people go, but this is old. This is a pre-Vatican II concept. What does it have to do with the new evangelization?
That's very interesting. You know, the Dutch, after the Vatican Council, had their own catechism, the Dutch catechism, which was both lauded and also rejected. And the Vatican concentrated on certain issues that should be improved, and one of them was the angels. We hardly talked about angels. And what happens now, we have skipped them in the church, and what you see happen, all the bookstores in Holland have at least one shelf on angels. All kinds of books, all kinds of cards, all kinds of images of angels. And I think That's very positive, of course, but then we need discernment, which are the good angels and the bad angels. That's one thing that I should stress. But many saints and popes advise people to pray to their guardian angel, to the Holy Angel Michael. Leo XIII added this prayer of the Holy Blessed Archangel Michael after Mass, this prayer. And then Francis de Sales, for instance, he advised the preachers to pray to the guardian angels of the people in the church. He would advise his spiritual sons and daughters to look much to their guardian angel and ask in conflicts to intervene and to dialogue with the guardian angel of the other person. The same was asked by John XXIII. He many times, scouts or on families and education, advised the parents and the scouts to pray to their guardian angels. And I think, why wouldn't we use, that's maybe not a good word, why wouldn't we listen to, that's the first thing to do, of course, to the angels that are there, and very effectively are there. Father Pio made use of the angels too. He said, when you have a problem, send your guardian angel to my guardian angel and I'll take care of it. So this is a kind of communication for your satellites. I really believe in angels. I read many books on certain experience people might have. And of course, I should add again, there is a sermon needed, because now it's very popular and now you get all kinds of names of angels of which you don't even know whether they're real angels, the good angels or the bad angels, or the devils. And but still, why would God send us angels if we don't use them?
You bring up this prayer of angels, and you mentioned this is actually quite interesting about the bookshelves on right. angels that right. the most secular people
right.
read. They also get into things like, you know, Buddhist meditation.
Right. Very much so, yeah.
Yet all these things you can find right. in the Catholic Church.
Right, sure, sure.
Is there I've heard a lot about spirituality mm-hmm. in this synod, and you're one of the few bishops, if I may say, who's yeah. gotten into very specific
right.
practices.
Yeah.
Do you think sometimes people are afraid of speaking about spirituality in a specific way because they might be, oh, that's too supernatural?
Yeah, I think there are two reasons. One of them is we're talking about the whole world, and we got to have a text at the end that is applicable to all parts of the world. That's one. And secondly, bishops are very practical persons. They deal more with money and business and vocations and whatever. And I somehow sense that to talk about the spiritual world might seem a little loose of the ground, might not be grounded enough. Whereas I think, when you talk to the saints, even Don Bosco had the Il Grigio, the grey one, who rescued him out of all kinds of situations. It was a dog, a very material dog, who grasped him and who grasped the attackers. So the spiritual world is very close to our world and can have influence. I'm sure about that. I heard stories myself of people who have had experiences. But why they wouldn't talk about this, I don't know. I think the church itself might need a kind of reflection on the world of angels. That would be, therefore I suggested it. I don't think that bishops don't believe in angels, but to mention them. I got a lot of positive reactions on my talk from many bishops, so maybe it's just not what they think about first time.